You're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
What's going on, everybody? We are live with our main show. Yes, a half hour late, but the World Cup's tomorrow, so we had to cover all bases of the World Cup. I'm your host, back in my seat, Kyle Bennett. This is like an OG show, dude. It's just the two of us.
Yeah, this is, wow, yeah, you're right.
This is an OG
It's lonely at this table, you know, with just two people here. I'm Dom, again, if you watch Top Ends. Hey, nice to see you again.
Welcome to episode 36 of Underground Sports Philadelphia. We have a loaded show tonight. We have a few announcements to make, which we'll get to shortly, and we're going to be joined by Philly's fourth-round draft pick, right-handed pitcher from Cal State Fullerton, Colton Eastman. He'll be calling into the show in just a little bit to talk about his whole draft process. He just pitched on ESPN2 last week. He was his conference's pitcher of the year. So Philly's got a nice little fourth-round pick there with him.
Hey, before we move on, I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors,
Main
Auto LLC and Huffman Farms. Like we said, oil changes
and flowers. Keys to life.
There you go. while we're waiting for the call and everything else, let's just talk about, like, the, you know, real quick, you know, parts on the Eagles real quick.
Yeah, we actually have Eagles news.
LeBron James is being recruited by Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz.
Hey, I'm about it. Let me see if I can cue that audio up. But today,
it's
our
friend
John Barchard from Bleeding Green Nation, he was at minicamp, and he asked Carson, you know, if the Sixers invite you to be at, like, the round table of recruiting LeBron to Philadelphia to come play for the Sixers, would you do it? Here was his response.
If the during that off time that you do have, if the Sixers asked you to be a part of a welcoming committee to get LeBron James here, would you do it?
Absolutely. I hope he's coming. You know, Ertz and I were there the other night, and unfortunately, you know, he lost and everything. I didn't really care who won in that game, but just seeing him live, and you know, we decided to make it a recruiting trip.
So if you heard that, hopefully you heard that. Because I think we got our audio.
LeBron James. Oh, I think when you were messing with that, you turned my mic a little bit higher.
Did I?
I don't know. LeBron James to Philadelphia, incoming. I'm telling you right now. I've been talking it into existence since, like, the beginning of the Sixers season. If you follow me on Twitter, I've been saying it. Just, like, I'm a firm believer of talking things into existence, and this is one of them, which I've been trying to put as much good karma and energy into it, and I'm the pieces seem to be falling into place now. Aside from that, you know, you got everybody in Philly really going after him, you know, really rooting for him, and it's nice to see the Eagles, you know, having a side with that. On top of that, Michael Bennett arrived.
Michael Bennett is in the building. We still haven't had any updates on his legal situation, but we figured that would drag out a while.
It's funny because it's like when things are going good for the team that he's at or for him, that's when things seem to be brought up.
Yep.
And it's the same thing with the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, when the things start going good for Philly or a Philly sports team, all these negative press things start to be brought up, you know, trying to discredit us. And it's only going to be worse now because he's playing on the Eagles.
Exactly.
And, you know, nobody cares right now. There's other things to worry about. And then once the Eagles start winning,
yep,
and let's say he has a really good game and he's the reason they won one of the games that they shouldn't have won, you know, they're going to start bringing things up. Oh,
yeah,
he's a criminal.
But, hey, he's in the building for minicamp.
He makes
which
us
is
better.
A fantastic sign, because not only, you know, is it good to have, you know, his veteran presence there, his first year on the team, But with Timmy Jernigan being out for, you know, probably half the season with his back injury that he played through last year, Michael Bennett's going to be playing a lot of defensive tackle.
No.
Because you're not going to throw a 34-year-old Haloti Ngata out there week after week as your starting defensive tackle next to Fletcher Cox. He's more of a rotational guy at this stage of his career. And Michael Bennett plays a lot of that quote-unquote NASCAR package that Jim Schwartz likes to throw out there with a defensive end moving on the inside. So to have him there kind of getting adjusted to the scheme and everything here at minicamp is a great sign. And then I don't know if you saw the Eagles were at the Thomas Rhett, Kenny Chesney concert at the Link. They came out. And
I did not know the Eagles were there.
Yes.
I had friends that were there, but I did not know
the Eagles came out on stage. A lot of them are friends with Thomas Rhett and Kenny Chesney, apparently, after I stalked some of their social media and looked at all that. But
I wouldn't put it past them.
Jeffrey Lurie, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, Corey Clement, Zach Ertz, a bunch of the team was there. They brought the trophy out on stage. They were throwing hats into the crowd and everything. And then it was pretty cool to see, you know. And Kenny Chesney said he sung a song for the first time on the tour because he wanted to save it for the home of the Super Bowl champs, which was pretty cool. I'm not a country
fan.
That
makes me feel all happy inside.
But to hear that from somebody, you know, of his, you know, celebrity stature is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But Doug, in one of his interviews to open up minicamp, said that he's kind of given a deadline to celebrate this whole Super Bowl and move towards next year.
Well, yeah, you see he's starting to get a little ticked off in interviews and everything. Yeah. Now he's like, shut up. Like, it's over. Like,
yeah.
We're moving on past this. We're moving on past this whole, you know, national anthem thing. We've got to get to business. And this is honestly, you know, if we have anything to talk about the Eagles, this will really show the mentality of our team. Mm-hmm. We're somewhat young. You know, we have a lot of good, you know, veteran players. We have a good veteran presence, I mean. But it's how we respond this season after winning the Super Bowl. Are we caught up in all the news? Are we caught up in the fact that we're the champs? Or, you know, do we become complacent? You know, now, you know, with this whole thing with the Super Bowl and you know, us being probably the most outspoken team for social justice in the NFL, does that create a distraction for us? Which I don't think it will.
No.
I think we do a good job as a team, you know, handling that whole situation. But, you know, there's a lot of other variables that play into our success this year rather than, you know, us being the underdog and just can we get it done.
There's a lot of new pieces on this team.
Exactly.
A lot of guys that were on the team last year aren't back. So it's a lot of, you know, putting these guys into place. And it's good to see, you know, a lot of them kind of building chemistry already. Most notably, Mike Wallace and Carson Wentz are, like, best friends.
That's good. That's really
good. I love it.
It's really, really
everything
good.
I'm seeing from reports at, you know, practice and minicamp is – you know, they're, you know, conjoined at the hip.
Well,
they're...
aside from that, how is the wide receiver unit as a whole just looking, like, chemistry-wise? Because, you know, you need to be able, you know, to... Your quarterback may be friendly with these guys,
right,
but can it's they work together as a field team? Because you don't want, like, a situation like a T.O. or
right,
Randy Moss, like, although they're some of the greatest of all time when it comes to the position, you have, you know, that kind of... like a... Maybe a better option would be like Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Like where, you know, you have maybe your number two guy looking like he's favored by the quarterback for a little bit and your number one guy
right,
gets annoyed. But if you have a unit that understands the bigger picture, which I think
this team does, as you saw it last year.
Exactly.
You had, I think it was four guys with 8+ touchdowns and at least 700 receiving yards.
Exactly. Carson Wentz obviously can get it to those guys,
yeah,
and they know that. So, you know, they understand that they will get their touchdowns, they will get their points. And
as much as we love Torrey Smith, Mike Wallace is a huge upgrade, you know, player-wise over Torrey Smith. And
100%.
To see Carson and Mike Wallace kind of meshing and figuring things out like that is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because Mike Wallace, you know, he might be older, he may not be Pittsburgh Steelers Mike Wallace, but
still
that boy still can
it.
Put the burners on him before, you know, his down season last year. He was an over 1,000-yard receiver with Joe Flacco as his quarterback.
Yeah.
So, Carson I'm excited
Wentz
for Mike
this
Wallace.
Like, look at what Carson Wentz did with Torrey Smith.
Exactly.
And you know, you're talking about somebody who's coming off of, you know, maybe not the best season, you know, but then he had a
turned it on
great,
in the playoffs.
Great season before that with Joe Flacco as your quarterback. And Joe Flacco has been in the decline, in my opinion,
since he was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, what happens with them. I think you don't really see a lot of negative press about the Eagles right now, too.
Nope.
With minicamp going on and all that. So it's cool because sometimes with some of these teams, you do see problems.
Mm-hmm.
They are highlighted in the press, especially over the summer. And, you know, we're coming down to, you know, we're already midway through June.
Which is crazy.
So, you know, it's like 3 months till preseason.
One month till training camp.
Yeah, so it's preseason's August.
Preseason's
September. Like,
yeah.
And then
pretty much the whole month of August, you'll have preseason games. And then
yeah, so
September 6th is
game
one.
Football season is really right around the corner. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Things are starting to heat up. And the Eagles are one of the hottest teams in the league. And
now that sports betting is legal in New Jersey, we can go place our legal bets on the Eagles to
win the
Super Bowl again.
Oh, so you're going to put are you going to put that in now?
I'm going to put that in very soon.
I'm going to go bet on the first game so the Eagles win.
Definitely.
I don't care what the odds are. I'll get some sort of turnout. But
plus cuz the Eagles
I may put $200 on and only come out with $50 extra dollars.
The best part
care.
Is the Eagles aren't even the favorites again. Underdogs again. They're 9-2 odds to win the Super Bowl.
Who's the favorites? The Patriots?
Yep. They're tied with the Steelers at 9-2 odds. Yep. Gotta love it. Dom's face says it all.
God. This does feel like an old show.
But before we get Colton on the line, that's pretty much the Eagles news. And I'm sure, you know, as minicamp's going on, we'll get more and more coming out of, you know, Eagles reporters and everything. But before we get Colton on the phone, I'm going to break down the Phillies lineup as their game is going on right now against the Rockies. They won back-to-back games.
Do you have the never mind, I'll look up the score. You can stay right there.
Cool. They won back-to-back games yesterday for the first time since mid-May. They're going for 3 in a row tonight. If you missed the lineup announcement, it's Cesar Hernandez batting leadoff at second base, Rhys Hoskins in left field hitting second, Scott Kingery at shortstop hitting third, Carlos Santana at first base in the cleanup position. Aaron Altherr gets the start in center field tonight. He's hitting fifth. Michael Franco is finally freed after a 5-game disappearance from the lineup. He's hitting sixth at third base. Jesmael Valentin gets a rare start in right field, hitting seventh. Jorge Alfaro, the defensive wizard, gets the start at catcher, hitting eighth. And then it's a Pivetta day, and he hits ninth.
Well, it's top of the third just started. Phillies are down 1-0. These are two teams with fairly similar records, so you know they're pretty much, you know, the same skill wise right now. They have the same type of form coming in. The Phillies they've had a rough little patch.
Yeah,
going
June's
on
been,
right now.
June's been tough for them.
But we talked about that. We talked about
that
earlier.
And we knew that was going to happen
because
they're playing a lot of, you know, above average teams. They're playing a lot of teams that are currently in the playoffs.
They got the Yankees in like a
week
and a half.
They got the Yankees coming up. You know, they just got done a tough road series with the Dodgers, Giants, and Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
They just played the Brewers, which was a tough series. You know, they're one of the best teams in the National League right now, believe it or not. And then, you know, they're going toe-to-toe with the Rockies right now, who another playoff
very
team.
Very close game yesterday.
And it shouldn't have been because they were up 5-1. But they ended up pulling that one out 5-4. And hopefully, you know, they get the series win tonight and all will be well in Phillies land. All they got to really do is, like, go, like, around 500 this month and they'll still be sitting pretty.
Yeah.
You know, their next, like, 18 games, if they can go, like, 11-7, 12-6... I think they'll be just fine, record-wise. And then you go into July, and you kind of assess where you're sitting and if you're going to go in and buy or if you're going to, you know, essentially buy by selling.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there'll be buyers. And some other news that came out today is that Pat Neshek could take a next step in his recovery and have a couple rehab starts coming up. Guy they signed in the offseason brought him back after they traded him at the deadline last year. Hasn't pitched once at all this year due to injury. So that'd be a much welcomed piece into this bullpen if they can get Pat Neshek back relatively soon to, you know, solidify some back-end innings and give some guys some rest that have been pitching more often than they usually should. And, you know, schedule coming up, they head out to Milwaukee. And then that's going to be tough, but we are going to be...
He tried FaceTiming you.
joined by Colton Eastman. And right now on Underground Sports Philadelphia, we are live with Philly's fourth round pick and Cal State Fullerton starting pitcher Colton Eastman. What's going on, buddy? This is Kyle Bennett, and Don Ponteri's here as well.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. First of all, congratulations getting drafted by the Phillies in the fourth round. What was that like, you know, when you found out that the Phillies had selected you?
Funny story is I actually slept through my pick, so I didn't
draft myself. Nice. You know, you're a California kid. Phillies tend to have a liking to a lot of California players, obviously, position-wise, most notably being Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins. What are you expecting kind of coming to this organization, coming across to the East Coast, you know, once your season's finished? What are you kind of expecting, you know, coming into the Phillies organization?
No, not expecting much. You know, I played in Georgia when I was 17 or 18, so I got a little taste of the East Coast atmosphere. Maybe it's not as bad as the Southeast, but I'm looking forward to it, and I know the Phillies really love Cal State Fullerton pitchers, so, I mean, I had a little hunch that I might have gone there.
Yeah, two of the, well, obviously the most notable is Thomas Eshelman, who they acquired in a trade. Did you ever play with Eshelman at Cal State?
No, I came the year after he left.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, fourth round, that's, you know, nothing to sneeze at when it comes to, you know, the baseball draft, obviously, with so many rounds. You said you slept through your pick, which I think that's phenomenal. You know, you pitched on ESPN2 almost a week ago. What was that like, you know, you guys still playing with your season going?
It was cool. I didn't really think about it, but when you see tons of cameras around your field, tons of not paparazzi, but just a bunch of people with microphones, it's a big deal. It's really cool knowing that people from back home are watching me on TV.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, random question, but you know, being a California guy, are you ready for the weather on the East Coast? I know it's not gonna always be as nice. Be a little more rain, a little colder in the winters, but What are your thoughts, you know, moving over to the East Coast?
Looking forward to it, honestly. I mean, living in California is nice and all. I love the beach and everything, but I really like cold weather. Not too uncomfortable with it, but my grandparents live in Washington, so I'd always visit there. And,
ah, okay.
Yeah, it rained a lot there, but I enjoy cold weather, but I think it'll be good.
And, you know, I'm looking at your player bio here for Cal State, and, you know, you were drafted in 2015 by the Twins in the 30th round, and now to, you know, kind of your next shot at the draft, you'd shoot up from the 30th to the 4th round. What was that like, you know, seeing your draft stock kind of rise from, you know, 3 years ago?
Funny thing is, my player bio is wrong. I was drafted in the 20th round by the Twins, but I just never got around to tell them after 3 years. I just left it. It wasn't something that, like, I was really worried about, but now that on my podcast, I'll say it here. But a 16-round bump, it's huge. After coming out of high school, getting drafted, you know, it's still a big deal, but I think I made the right decision to go into college. And if there's any high school players listening to this, I would really go to college if you have the offer or if you have a chance to.
I like this. I like this in your personal bio. It says you model your game after Nolan Ryland. That's a nice little person to model your game after. Talk to me about this superstition. Why do you jump over the baseline?
One day I was in the living room with my dad, and we were watching, I forget what it was, like a documentary on a specific pitcher. I forget his name, but his little thing was jumping over the baseline, and this was when I was maybe 15 years old, and I was like, you know, I'm going to start doing that. And ever since then, ever since freshman year of high school, I've done it, and I don't know, it's just stuck with me, and I really enjoy it.
That's pretty cool.
And then looking at your bio, still kind of getting familiar with you. Clayton Kershaw, your favorite baseball player, but the Giants are your favorite baseball team. A little interstate rivalry there with Kershaw playing for the Dodgers and the Giants being your team. What made you become a Giants fan?
So, Giants fan is just basically my whole family is a Giants fan or love the Giants. So I was like, you know what, I just hop on that train. But when I was asked those questions, I honestly had no idea who my favorite pitcher was. I just said Kershaw because he's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to change that, I would change it to Max Scherzer just because I love how he's so dominant on the base on the pitching mound. How he struts around a strikeout after and just how he presents himself, really.
Yeah, Scherzer's a beast, and we get firsthand knowledge of that with the Phillies obviously being in the same division as the Nationals. And him, you know, dominating for so long. And we're basketball guys, too, so is Dirk your actual favorite player? Cause
I love seeing that. I absolutely like, that wins some points in my book.
Yeah, I love Dirk Nowitzki. I've been a Mavericks fan ever since they won in 2011 when they beat the Heat. It was great. Beat LeBron, beat the Big Three. It was awesome. But I enjoy watching him. Just a veteran guy, team guy. Just loves doing what he does and just enjoys the game.
I like that.
Now, when it comes to LeBron, now that you're, you know, in the Phillies organization, are you going to be advocating for LeBron to come and play for the Sixers?
I saw that. If he comes and plays for them, that'd be a huge deal. That'd be unbelievable. That'd be great.
Because we just, before you called in, we had an interview with Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz talking to some reporters, and they asked him, you know, if they asked you to sit down and recruit LeBron, would you be all about it? And Carson Wentz is on board with recruiting LeBron to the Sixers, and he and Zach Ertz went up to game 5 to openly recruit LeBron in Cleveland. So the more Philadelphia athletes that get on board, I think the better.
It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah, that'd be amazing.
What's your favorite kind of taco?
My favorite kind of what?
Taco.
You said taco?
Yeah.
You know, just when I make at home, usually when my mom or dad ask me what I want to eat, I always say tacos. We just get ground beef, some cheese, sour cream, green sauce, and it's my favorite food.
Oh, the green sauce. That's the right move right there.
So good.
Yeah, I don't know. We have a lot of good taco choices, you know, locally for us. So, you know, it's hard for me to kind of pick. I tend to go towards the fish taco route.
I'm a big fish taco.
Fish tacos with the green sauce is definitely. Are you a cilantro and onion guy too? Do you put those on or?
No onions or cilantro for me.
All right, that sounds like my mom. My mom's that way. No cilantro.
And just in case you guys are just tuning in, we are live with Phillies 4th-round draft pick Colton Eastman. The Phillies announced, too, recently that they had just signed some of their draft picks. Obviously, their number one draft pick, Alec Bohm, was signed. I'm not sure if you were on that list or not, but is your intention to sign with the Phillies once your season's over?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
Good man.
We just got a comment in our Facebook Live chat from your cousin, Carrie, saying that she is proud of you and all of your determination and hard work has finally paid off. So I just want to let you in on that. She's commenting on the live video that we have going.
Thank you, Terry.
But, you know, as it comes to the Phillies, you know, have you been able to kind of keep up with what they're doing this year? Kind of a young team. Obviously, they brought in some veterans this offseason with Carlos Santana and Jake Arrieta and some of the relievers. Have you been able to kind of take a look at the roster that they've been putting together and what are your thoughts on the team this season?
You know, I've taken a little look, and what's really nice is that we have one of the best home records, so, you know, that's cool. That just means that the fans are a huge deal, and that's always a big part in winning games.
Yeah, that's one thing to definitely expect once you start playing in Philly is that the fans will be behind you 110%.
Yeah, every player loves that.
Yeah, and the other thing, probably not to get too caught up in, like, any negative things that they may say because, A lot of Philly fans tend to wear their heart in their sleeves, but you know, no matter what, it's like it's like tough love almost. It's weird. Yeah. but like they will back you till the end of the day, you know, or till the end of your time in the league. You know, it's a different kind of thing out here than most sports cities.
Oh yeah, I feel it. The city of brotherly love.
That is very, very true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Says your favorite restaurant, Denny's and Waffle House.
I like the Waffle House choice.
Oh, Waffle House is so good.
And then it says here, favorite movies, The Sandlot and The Goonies. Can't go wrong with either of those. And looking at your musical artist now, you know, obviously baseball, a lot of players get that opportunity for the walk-up song or for the warm-up song. What's your walk-up / warm-up song of choice?
I'll go AC/DC every day. I mean, you can put AC/DC on the radio and whatever song comes on, I'll love it.
It's nice.
I'll take it.
That's nice.
And now, you know, transitioning into the major leagues, obviously you're a starter at Cal State. Do you see yourself kind of projected as a starter once you sign on with the Phillies, or do you think you'd take the chance at potentially converting into a reliever? How do you kind of see yourself transitioning into the major leagues position-wise?
I do see myself as a starter, but I think like any guy would say, I don't mind filling in a position to help the team or to even get me closer into the bigs.
And a lot of reports that I saw today, too, is as we were, you know, searching your name, seeing what, you know, scouts and things had to say about you, a lot of people think you'll end up going to Williamsport, one of the Philly single-A teams right off the bat once you sign. And, you know, for being a fourth-round pick to be able to go right to, you know, single-A, that's kind of a big deal. I don't know if you saw any of that or heard any of that. What are your thoughts on the potential of just going right to, you know, the Williamsport Crosscutters?
I mean, huge deal, and I had no idea that was being thrown around, but must be a huge deal. You get to go straight in single A.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of the talk with Philly's draft picks recently is, you know, they haven't really, you know, quote, hit on a lot of them. They've kind of taken a while to develop, so to have somebody, you know, not in the first round being able to go right off the bat to, you know, a single A team, I think it's a huge deal, and you know, for you, congratulations on that if it does end up happening.
Thank you.
Let me see here.
Oh, I got something.
Go for
so,
it.
So I see a lot of pictures, like your profile picture on the Cal State website, clean shaven. But if you look up the Google images, you know, you've got a little scruff going on sometimes. You've grown out your beard, I'm assuming like a playoff beard, I'm guessing. But there also are ones of just a straight mustache. What's your go-to?
Definitely a beard. The reason I did the mustache look, that was my freshman year, and I was basically forced by the upperclassmen to do that.
that's a good one though. That's cool. Like at least the upperclassmen weren't like too hard on you. They just made you grow out the mustache. That's funny.
Yeah, mustache march.
I like that. I'm about to start doing that. but you're definitely like a playoff beard kind of guy.
Yeah, I love my beard. I love either letting it grow out, trimming it up, darkening it, you know, a little jet black action. I don't mind that at all.
Okay.
Little Brian Wilson homage there.
Oh, yeah, a little Jake Arrieta, you know.
There we go. And obviously your pinned tweet on Twitter talking about, you know, the Big West Conference Pitcher of the Year. Give us a little insight on that. What was that like finding out that you received that award, and, you know, what's that mean to you?
So I didn't know if I would get that award or not when I got it. You know, I was shocked, you know, but I was thankful. And coming back after my sophomore year being hurt and then being able to do that my junior year in college is, you know, a great accomplishment. I couldn't do it without my defense, but defense and pitching, that's all Fullerton is known for, and thank God I was a pitcher.
Hey, man, that's awesome, and he is the first Cal State Fullerton pitcher to win this award since Philly's Thomas Eshelman, which is awesome. So to join Tom with that. And then you also earned D1 D1 baseball All-American first team honors as well. Congratulations on that. What was, you know, finding out about that? All the awards you've been receiving, what's that been like for you? And then obviously going to be moving on to the Phillies soon, as soon as your season wraps up. But what's it like being, you know, receiving all these awards and everything?
It's just a great accomplishment and a great honor to be recognized as, you know, one of the great pitchers in the nation, basically. But like I said before, you know, you can't get there without having a great defense behind you, and which I did. But another funny thing is that this morning I was asleep and I woke up and my teammate actually told me I got the D1 baseball All-American thing. So that's another thing I fell asleep to.
That's funny. Yeah, I went on his Twitter page as well now. You gained even more points in my book. You're a Zlatan fan. So big ups on that. That's my favorite soccer player as well.
Oh, God, that guy is an animal. I love watching him. I love his attitude. I love his demeanor in the game. I love how he just carries himself. Hopefully I get to meet him one day.
I wish I could too. I mean, that's great. Did you see his interview on ESPN with Dan Le Batard? He was just,
I don't think I have.
Oh my God, if you have free time, look it up. It's hilarious. Like, you talk about his attitude and his demeanor, it's the same thing. He said, he asked him, like, is there anything, like, you regret doing, like, when you were 18? And Zlatan was like, no, the 18-year-old me was perfect.
I love that.
It was great.
I love that.
I come in with the crazy questions, the ones that come out of left field. Are you a Fortnite or PUBG guy?
Oh, Fortnite.
There we go.
We got to get him on some streams.
I'm so in.
There we go.
But, you know, looking at, you know, who would you kind of compare yourself to give yourself like a pro comparison to anybody in the league right now? The way your game is, the way you kind of approach batters when you're on the mound, who would you kind of give some comparisons to pro style-wise?
I would say a good comparison I was told was the Cubs pitcher, right-handed.
Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah.
Kyle okay. Hendricks. Hey man,
with his changeup being similar to mine, or mine being similar to his, I thought that was a great comparison. And my attitude, like Max Scherzer when I'm on the mound, I just show that I'm the best one out there.
Hey, if we can have a Max Scherzer, Kyle Hendricks, Frankenstein-type pitcher in our organization, I'll take that any day of the week. That's awesome. And, you know, looking at the Phillies pitching staff, too, obviously you being a pitcher, what are your thoughts on, you know, Aaron Nola, Nick Pivetta, obviously Jake Arrieta coming into the fold, Vince Velasquez? What are your thoughts on the rotation right now and all that stuff going on with the, you know, the pitching staff in Philadelphia?
You know, I mean, they're just guys that made it there, just like I'm trying to make it there, and they've all got great stuff. I love watching them all throw, but I just can't wait for Thomas Eshelman to be up there one day soon, honestly, because I'm pretty sure he's close enough.
Dude, let me tell you, in February, I think it was, when we started this podcast, I was telling Dom, Thomas Eshelman's going to be the number 5 starter in this rotation to start the season, and I was disappointed he didn't make it, but I totally agree. I think Thomas is going to be up very soon, once he works out a couple kinks down at Lehigh Valley. I think he's going to be up before we know it, and he's going to be a dominant long-term piece to the Phillies.
Absolutely.
But just further for our viewers right now and our listeners, just give them some insight on, you know, who you are as a person, you know, what they should expect from Colton Eastman coming to the Phillies organization, and what you bring to the table.
Just a hard worker, you know, loves to win, team guy. But like, even if you see me at the ballpark, I won't turn my back against you. If there's little kids ever come out to the field, ever want an autograph or want a ball, I won't hesitate out either. I love making little kids feel like they have the world in their hands when they get a signed ball or even just a foul ball.
That's the right way to do it.
Hey, if you're like that, Philly fans are going to eat you up, and you will probably be one of the biggest fan favorites in this city for a long time. Baseball-wise, what are your... Because I know there's a lot of, like, the baseball purists and then the new wave fans. What are your thoughts on batting-wise on the bat flip? Because we have a guy on our team, Odubel Herrera, who, you know, he's got that Latin flair, and when he gets a big home run or a big hit, he's going to flip the bat, and he's going to let you know that he beat you. What are your thoughts on the bat flip?
To be honest, when I've given up a home run, I've never actually seen the person do a bat flip. But on TV, I mean, if it's a good bat flip, you can't argue that. if it's a good bat flip, you got to just be like, wow, that's just nice.
So I'll take it here right now. Colton Eastman is an advocate as a pitcher of the bat flip.
There we go.
So, you know, you guys are
more of that.
You guys are still playing, right, for the Cal State season still going on, if I'm not mistaken.
No, we just lost Super Regionals last week on Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. So now, are there any expectations on when you might sign with the Phillies, not that your season's finished up?
It should be soon. I will give a call out to my agent/advisor and see how that all ends up, but it should be soon.
Hey, awesome. And, you know, we'll be right on top of that here at Underground Sports Philadelphia as well. And it's pretty funny here, looking in the chat. My mom and your mom, I think, just became best friends, going back and forth. So that's pretty cool.
Wow, I didn't even see that going on.
It's a long-running, like, thread conversation of my mom and Colton's mom right in our chat. But just in case you guys, again, are just joining us, we are live with Colton Eastman, Philly's fourth-round pick in this year's MLB draft. I also have to ask you, man, because being here East Coast, we're from South Jersey, and we have this guy that's kind of regarded as the best player in baseball, known as Mike Trout, right from our backyard. And you being out in California, what are your thoughts on Mike? I don't know if you've gotten to see him play, but what are your thoughts on Mike Trout being the man?
I mean, it's great. Just really growing up in a city like New Jersey and then becoming the number one baseball player there is as of right now. I never got to see an Angels game, even though I live really right next to the stadium. But, I mean, it's great. Even just watching him on TV, just seeing what kind of ball player he is and what he brings to the team.
I mean, I can't say anything bad about this guy. I think the Phillies hit the nail on the head with Colton Eastman being one of their picks this year. Dude, we cannot wait to see you playing at Citizens Bank Park very soon. When you're in Philly, let us know, and we'll meet up and we'll take you around the city and all that good stuff. We'll do some more podcasts with you. But thank you for joining us tonight. Best of luck when the contract signing goes down, and again, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
And we'll definitely have you again soon. And again, best of luck once the contract signs, and whatever team you end up on in the organization, we'll definitely be keeping a close eye on you. Thank you again, and that was Philly's fourth-round pick, Colton Eastman. He should be signing with the Phillies. You heard it here first very soon. And he'll be back on the show sooner than you think. So best of luck, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
That was Colton Eastman. Dude, I think the Phillies got a winner.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Yeah. I'm a fan.
I want to get him on Fortnite.
Yeah.
Fortnite squad up real quick. And
I'm all about it.
We're going to get some dubs.
My mom's got a new best friend out of this.
Yeah, look at that. Your mom said absolutely. Get him some cheesesteaks. We got to take him to the right place.
Dude, stay tuned for something we have coming in the fall, too, regarding cheesesteaks.
Yo, this is something that you two were going to do, right?
Yeah, we're planning with the whole
Include
squad.
Me, I want to do
Oh,
this,
it's going to be a whole team affair.
Yeah, I want to do this as well.
But our creative director thought of the coolest thing to do, and we're teasing it right now. But it's coming. Stay tuned.
Hair flips. Yeah, I did this.
But yeah, that was Colton Eastman. I was seeing reports earlier, like I said, that he might be joining the Williamsport Crosscutters right off the bat, which is a huge, huge deal.
Nice. That's real nice.
For him to just kind of bypass rookie ball. And
you heard him. He said going right to single A is awesome.
Especially after the first, you know, the last three Phillies picks we've had, kind of struggling to get through the system a little bit. So to have a fourth-round pick, being able to do that is awesome. And like we said, we have some announcements to get to as well. Obviously, announcement number one on Twitter was just our guest, Colton, joining us. Announcement number two, Dom, is we have a new best friend in the Phillies organization.
Go ahead and tell
him. Kurt Landes. If you don't know who he is the president and general manager of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
Yep.
Dude, I'm telling you, this podcast, we're going to have shirts that say shoot your shot with the at button on it, because we get everybody on this show just by hitting the at button. So Kurt Landes, I had messaged him the other day to see if he'd like to come on the show to talk about the Iron Pigs and everything, and I was like, huh, none of us have ever been to Coca-Cola Park before, so I was like, maybe we could possibly set something up that way. Underground Sports Philadelphia's taking a road trip to Lehigh Valley, guys. June 28th, we'll be at Coca-Cola Park for Lehigh Valley Once LeBron Night. So if you don't know about
we've been retweeting the whole thing.
So the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, obviously everyone knows LeBron James, pending free agent this offseason. The Iron Pigs have made a pitch to him to come play a season of minor league baseball, just like Michael Jordan did with the White Sox. And they said the only thing holding him back from being the GOAT over Michael Jordan is that he has to come play one season of mediocre minor league baseball. So June 28th, they are going to have LeBron to Lehigh Night. Just their pitch. They're trying to get 10,000 fans to Lehigh Valley to sway LeBron to come and play baseball for the Iron Pigs. We will be there. We're taking a road trip. We're taking the show on the road.
Yep.
And we will be in Lehigh Valley on Thursday, June 28th. Dom, the best part about this, 2 hours before the game, it's $2 beers. And during the game, it's Dollar Dog Night. You're welcome, everyone. So if you want to join us...
I got a job bouncing, so I don't know if I'll be working a Thursday night or not. If not, then I'm definitely... I will be there.
Let us know if you want to come with us. We'll send you the link to tickets for the game and everything so we can help our friends at the Iron Pigs out and fill that stadium up. But they're going to have a whole bunch of, you know, LeBron promos going on. And, you know, you get a free Sprite if you wear a LeBron jersey, which I thought was hilarious because LeBron's endorsed
free
by Sprite.
Oh, sick. I need to find a LeBron jersey.
I think they're having LeBron James Iron Pigs t-shirts. So it's going to be a whole affair of LeBron James to Lehigh. So we're excited for that. So June 28th, if you're free, it's a Thursday night. Go to Lehigh Valley with us, Coca-Cola Park. It's only a two-hour drive. It's not bad at all. So come join us for Lehigh Valley Once LeBron Night at the Iron Pigs game, because we'll be there. And we may be having a podcast live from the stadium with our friend Kurt Landes. Other announcement. In 2 weeks, we just secured a kind of a partnership with a new business in Vineland. So we will be live from Ducharme's in Vineland, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
On June 27th from 6 to 7. So our show time is normally 7 to 8. We'll be live from 6 to 7 because Ducharme's closes at 7. During the week. So 6 to 7 p.m. on the 27th, we'll be live from Ducharme's.
If you guys know about Ducharme's, obviously they sell, you know, a lot of basketball apparel, and they're most known for their shoes. You know the meme, Kyle? The one of the guy sitting with the coffee mug in front of the table, and it always gives some controversial topic, prove me wrong. Stop by Ducharme's, try to prove me wrong with any of my basketball takes. I have some that I've been very... I've been very vocal on Twitter about, you know, we just talked about a couple.
I'm all on board with
this
take, so
come
debate us.
Come and prove me wrong. Stop by Ducharme's and you know, be the Skip Bayless to my Stephen A. Smith or Shannon Sharp to be more relevant now. But,
we'll be there. So
let's go.
And we're not going to only be there once. We have some dates that we're working out.
Yes.
But all summer, you can probably catch us at Ducharme's at least twice a month in July and August. So we'll be at Ducharme's a lot this summer.
That's going
to
be so cool.
So shout out to them. We're excited to be partnering up with them to do some shows there. And then there might be a special guest, potentially, on that June 27th show. I'm working some things out. I'm not 100% sure, but we may have a guest at Ducharme's.
Did you mention
us.
This in the group chat already?
I did not. This is breaking.
Oh, this is under wraps?
Yeah, this is underground news.
Hey.
There may be a special guest depending on this person's schedule, but stay tuned for that because it could be something nice and big happening at Ducharme's on the 27th. So stay tuned for that show. We have episode 2 of Sixers Summer coming up on Saturday. We could do a little Sixers talk because we got a little bit of time.
There's some stuff to talk
about. Because
there's
some stuff. We could preview Sixers Summer episode 2 right now because there was a Woj bomb this morning that was kind of known, but now it's coming from Woj.
Oh, you're talking about the Kawhi stuff.
Kawhi.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been talking
we've
about
all been talking
that
about
the
it
Sixers
here.
Have
it's
the
been...
have the chance. They have a good chance, and they have the assets that we can give in a trade to get Kawhi. The Celtics turned down an offer.
Did they?
It was reported today.
Okay.
I forget who put it out, but I think an official source or like a really, really trusted one where Danny Ainge offered a deal to the Spurs for Kawhi, and they turned it down.
Interesting.
You know what? Maybe they're trying to hold out on him, you know, and have, you know, Kawhi kind of force
Popovich
it.
Because now apparently Popovich is sitting down with LeBron.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, can the
Spurs,
you know,
sway LeBron to come play in San
Antonio? Either the Spurs or even like Kevin Durant, because remember, he's a restricted free agent, where the Warriors would have to match it. And obviously, like, they can either match it or sign him to a crazy deal. And ESPN was talking about this last night. There's a couple options that Durant could have, and what's the best option to do so. Jalen Rose was talking about it on his show. You know, does he sign a deal now? Does he sign like a one year and then get the 5 year super max afterwards? Or, you know, it's interesting. But it's also interesting if the Spurs and Pop could somehow convince Kawhi to stay and then bring in either LeBron or somehow swoop in and take two-time finals MVP, two-time
NBA champion,
one-time league MVP, Kevin Durant. That's a little preview to it. our Ducharme.
And then
takes.
I don't know if you saw the other news too, that apparently if the Warriors offer Draymond Green an extension this summer, he's going to turn it down.
I did see that they also talked about. Well, it's been talked about that Draymond may not be with the Warriors too much. Well, much longer. Also, there's been talks about Klay Thompson leaving.
Yes.
This Warriors team could eventually implode. Or they could use... Did you see the other thing? They could be using Klay and some other assets in a trade to get Anthony Davis into Golden State, where you would have a super team, but it's a big three of Steph, KD, and
Davis.
Anthony Davis.
See, I think that's scarier.
I would take that big three over this... Four player super team any day.
That's scarier than anything they've thrown out on the floor these last 4 years.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I mean, kind of, because the Klay Steph
duo
is insane.
But you're
because
thinking
Steph,
about putting...
Klay is a 3-and-D guy and Steph is the best shooter to ever play in the NBA. And
but you talk about putting three arguably top seven players on one team.
Yeah.
Even top five,
it's
maybe?
Insane. It's top seven.
Yeah, I would say top seven. But,
yeah.
I did not see that, so that's crazy. Yeah.
And I mean, like, people, like, Ryan was telling me, like, AD's not leaving New Orleans. But, I mean, he could leave for a couple places, and Golden State is definitely one of them. And
because if he gets a ring, that's solidifies his career.
Good God,
for sure.
He deserves it too. But it all depends on what happens with Cousins. If DeMarcus goes and signs someplace else, I think the Pelicans aren't going to do much. They're kind of in that limbo area where they made playoffs, which is and weird, they're not going to have good draft picks.
It always seems that Drew Holiday ends up in limbo.
It's a shame, but I mean, if that's the case, if he signs somewhere and AD wants out, then I think that they're just going to go full rebuild process kind of mode and kind of see what they can get for Drew and asset-wise, like draft picks and stuff like that, and maybe a player. But that would have to be the case.
Yeah, it has to be.
They can't just keep him there. That would suck. Yeah. It would happen to him in Philly. He got shipped off for the process, and now it's going to happen to him again. I wouldn't want that for him.
But, yeah, I think the whole Kawhi thing is interesting now that it's been put out into the air by Woj.
Yeah.
Saying not only do the Sixers have interest in trading for him, but they have interest in trading for him and extending him.
Which is very, you know, lucrative in Kawhi's eyes.
Yes.
Because that's what he's looking for. He's not looking for a team that's just going to sign him for one deal as a rental. Or, like, trade and then just
leave him. He wants stability.
Like, trade and keep him on that deal and then just see what happens. Bring the stability and show, hey, look, we've got the cap space that
help
we can
us
do
get
this.
LeBron.
We can do this.
Or
we can,
it's vice versa.
We can get you, give you an extension, and bring in a player like LeBron. I would be fine with giving up, you know, assets if that's the case. It's looking like something like we have to give up Dario and Covington and a draft pick. Obviously, like, I wouldn't want to give away Fultz in a deal like that because we still need another point guard. You know, maybe TJ. You know, we picked up TJ.
I love TJ. And we also picked up Rashawn Holmes, which I found kind of interesting because that wasn't really...
I like it.
I do, too. It just wasn't, like, you know, put out there like it was with TJ.
Yeah.
Where we all knew TJ was getting picked
Holmes
up.
Holmes didn't have the greatest season.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you see some of his limitations defensively. He makes some pretty crappy decisions every now and then. Offensively, he's somewhat limited as a scoring option. He can shoot the three a little bit, but I mean, so can Amir.
Yeah,
like a little bit.
And Kyle Newbeck brought up kind of like the counter position to it, where it's like it's interesting that they picked it up because sure, it's only $1.6 million, but they're trying to clear up as much cap space as they can for these free agents.
And it's interesting because I didn't think, you know, I thought they were going to sign somebody so Amir doesn't play as much, but, you know, Amir kind of grew on me. Like, you know this, and you guys have said this to me on the show. He obviously, you know, gained more of my favor as the season went on because he started playing better. And, you know, maybe we didn't need Holmes in there. But, you know, it's interesting that we have him in as well. It's kind of like a security blanket.
Now, is Amir still under contract?
We have to look that up real quick. But, because I remember talking about signing somebody instead of
Nerland.
You know, yeah.
I thought you talked about bringing him back.
I don't even know if I want to bring Nerland has either. To sign for the vet min and be fine with it, and I don't think he wants to do that.
I agree. I think Nerland is going to end up on a team like...
Yeah, so Amir had a 1 year, $11 million. It's another, like, one of those kind of JJ deals where we overpaid him because we wanted him here and we wanted to make sure that he was here. If we re-sign him, obviously the contract's going to be restructured and he's going to make less money. Same thing with JJ. I think JJ will be fine with it. You just have to prove that you're bringing in top-tier talent.
Right.
If we bring in Kawhi and LeBron...
JJ's going to have to take like a...
Either JJ takes a bench role or it is possible to play a starting five where JJ still is in the game.
Yeah.
It's just the defensive matchups that worry me in that case because JJ's still going to be put on the point guard and we saw what happens when when we have to play like that. I mean, not necessarily. JJ can still play defense on the two. It just depends on who's the better player of those two on whoever we're playing. You know, if we're playing a team like Portland, it's kind of crappy because he's either on CJ or on Dame.
Right.
Because, you know, then you get a mismatch if you put him on anybody else. If you play somebody like New Orleans,
where there's not a
guard heavy team. Do you want him on Rondo or do you want him on Drew? You know, you got to pick the lesser of the two evils because you have a top-tier defender in Kawhi. You have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, who have been shown to be a really good defensive pairing.
I mean, Joel was top.
LeBron isn't the best defender nowadays.
Yeah.
You see that he takes time, he takes possessions off. You know, he's trying to prolong his body so he can play all 82 games. It's not the biggest deal.
Right. And I think a lot of that comes from what was around him these past couple years. And I think if he comes to a team like the Sixers, he's going to be able to kind of be fresher for the duration of the season rather than, you know, putting a team on his back again.
Exactly. He's already said he wants to play off ball. And since LeBron is so, you know, big on ensuring, you know, that he can prolong his play.
Right.
And that he can play for as long as he possibly can. He wants to play with his son when he comes into the league, or at least against him. He wants to share the court
with his
with
son.
Bronny. And I think if that's the case, he obviously has to evolve and change his game to the point where, you know, it's not the LeBron that everybody knows. It's not the guy who's going to have the ball in his hands every single possession. I mean, it's LeBron James, so you want the ball in his hands. But we also have Joel Embiid. We also have Ben Simmons. And if we have Kawhi, we have Kawhi. Where this is a team that, you know, you can run an offense like the Spurs. Who was under Pop?
Brett Brown.
Where you can now run these sets where every guy on the court, including JJ, is a threat. Where the defense has to play you honest. Now you're opening things up like backdoor cuts, you know, split screens. You know, Joel Embiid can fake a screening, dive right to the net. Ben, LeBron, they can all do the same thing, throw alley-oops. Ben Simmons running a pick and roll with LeBron setting the pick. Joel Embiid setting the pick. Ben Simmons could set the pick for LeBron or for Kawhi. You know, the options in an offense with a starting five like that is insane. And I already mentioned the defense. It's not bad. It's not bad, and you know, we're still somewhat deep as a team. You know, you bring in certain people. I don't really think Bellinelli, as much as it hurts to say that, you know, based off his performance at the end of the year, I don't think he's coming back. Ersan could come back. Yeah. I'd love to see him back, especially if we have to use Dario in a trade. That's a good backup. I think we're giving him a little too much info for based off of Saturday. But I mean, Matt has his opinions too. So, and you know, he likes to talk.
I don't know if you saw, I think it was Drew Corrigan on Twitter put out a video because Ben's out in China right now.
Yes.
Chucking up threes.
Oh, I have a video on my phone because Ben put it on his Instagram story.
Yes.
And I did a screen recording and I was going to put it up on Twitter and I refrained from doing so because I thought because that was after, you know, I had a few really, really bad or hot takes on Twitter and I got a lot of slack for it. So I wasn't trying to put that up and get more hate on Twitter because it was getting annoying. But
hey, we'll post it on the show account.
I'll send you the video.
Yeah. We'll put it right up. Plus Markel is progressing.
So. It's looking great.
Yes.
Drew Hanlon does wonders, and we talked about this last week. I'm going to talk about it again this week. You know, let's just go on. I'm going to, if you have something to talk about, I'm going to read this real quick.
I'm just going to plug our lovely sponsors, Main Auto LLC, family owned and operated for the longest time, since 1990, since before Dom and I were born. Complete automotive and light truck repair, open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., give them a call, 856-691-6878. They're located on 2515 South Main Road in Vineland, New Jersey. Let them know that Underground Sports Philadelphia sent you. And, of course, our latest sponsor, Huffman Farms. They're located on 296 South Bluebell Road in Vineland, New Jersey. And you can also give them a call at 609-805-1115. Tell them we sent you. Go get all your flowers. Summertime is here. It's nice outside. Go spruce up the outside of your house, your backyard, all that good stuff. Go to our friends at Huffman Farms and get everything you need for your yard.
Hey, man. Flowers.
Works.
Yard work. Oil.
Oil changes and flowers.
Can't be it.
Keys to life, according to Matt Castorina. But yes, like we said, in 2 weeks we'll be at Douche Arms for the show on Wednesday night. Sixers Summer. Episode 2, obviously part of Sixers Saturday. this coming Saturday. We're gonna have Sixers summer t-shirts coming. I have formulated this idea in my mind. It's gonna be featuring some KB photography. Shameless plug.
hey, I shamelessly used to plug my Instagram on here exactly. all the time. So
follow him at Dom Park. We have t-shirts for that. But yes, Sixer summer shirts will be coming soon. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Hey. That'll be up on our TeePublic storefront. And if you haven't already, go cop some merch at our TeePublic storefront. Yep. TeePublic.com, search Underground Sports Philadelphia. You'll be able to find it. We have a whole bunch of stuff up there. And rep the pod.
Yeah, rep our pod. Big shout out to our brother pod.
Yeah,
I don't want to like claim them as a brother, but you know, like this is another local pod from our town that if you don't care about any other sport we talk about other than basketball, go check, and you hate waiting every Saturday for us, go check out Good Takes NBA pod. Ryan Jones and Trey Zingas. They are a very good duo. They also have a lot of guys from Sixers Twitter. Yeah. They have a new guest every week, and it's always somebody awesome. That's quality from NBA or Sixers Twitter. So go check that out. It's always a good listen.
Yeah, they're great.
So you get that every week. You get us every week. With basketball wise, I mean, you get us twice a week if you like other sports
and
too.
Of course, you get the live show here. We're on iTunes now.
Yeah.
In case you've been living under a rock, we're on iTunes. Go subscribe to us on iTunes.
Boom.
Leave us a 5-star rating and review. It goes a long way.
Oh, it's not through the...
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Because we had to get the phone plugged in. But yeah, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us those reviews and ratings. If we get up to... What should we say? If we can get up to 25 5-star reviews and ratings, we'll do some sort of giveaway.
I like that.
On iTunes. So iTunes, podcast app, Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Give us those ratings.
Subscribe, leave us a review,
leave us a rating. You know we come in with like good giveaways or good like promos and stuff. We come up with some good ideas. Thanks to our creative director.
Hair flip. Hashtag hair flip.
You haven't given out a nice little hashtag in a while.
Yeah. I think this episode's hashtag is going to be hashtag hair flip.
All right, there we go.
But yeah, so this has been episode 36 of Underground Sports Philadelphia.
God, we're almost to 40.
We've been going at this for 4 months, dude.
Yeah, when you said that earlier, I was like,
nuts. Galaxy brain.
Oh, man.
Shout out to our sponsors, Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms. Shout out to Colton Eastman for joining the show.
Hey, he left a comment, said thanks for having us. He liked the tweet on Twitter. Shout out to the young generation.
Dude, shout out to all our friends here that have jumped on board.
Yeah, Sports Philadelphia. Corey Nelson,
Jameel Demby, Kurt Landies, Colton Eastman. I'm sure I'm forgetting people, but...
Oh, how did the Flyers recorded thing go?
We had to delay that. It's going to happen Friday, but that interview with Brandon Summerman from Philly Fan Life will be played on Saturday's show.
Okay.
We will have that pre-recorded, but we'll be playing it on Saturday's show because he put out a report... Pretty interesting stuff for Flyers Afternoon Skate with a possible trade up in the Flyers draft where the Flyers are moving on up. Teasers.
Bang. We're going to end it on that mic drop.
Thank you guys for joining us. We will see you on Saturday for Top Bins and for Sixers Summer and Flyers
World
Afternoon
Cup,
Skate.
Baby.
For Dom, I'm Kyle. Peace.